welcome to Fool's Daily. It's Stardate 372597, and today Conrad and I are boldly going where no fool has gone before.
Yeah, you're joined on the bridge by your fellow officer.
I am in the captain's chair.
Are you?
Yes, having passed the Kobayashi Maru scenario, and I'm joined by Ensign Goldsalvis.
Godzilla. Ensign Godzilla.
What's he called? Godzilla?
I thought you were going to say Godzilla. Yeah. I thought you were in the comfy chair as opposed to the captain's chair.
Well, no, that's in my quarters.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
So, we are talking...
Does your chair have a cushion on it?
It does.
Good. What, one of those ones with a ring around?
No, not a ring cushion.
Sorry.
What are we here to talk about?
We're here to talk about Star Trek Attack Wing.
Yes. Anyone who's heard yesterday's show will know that towards the end of yesterday's show...
Is it really yesterday's show?
It was really yesterday's show. At the beginning of yesterday's show, you heard Conrad be a foul-mouthed individual. And obviously, being about Star Trek, that won't be happening today. But at the end of yesterday's show, we sort of got a bit excited and a bit distracted by Star Trek Attack Wing.
Yes, you can hear us foaming at the mouth.
Yes. And in real life, some time has passed since we recorded that show.
It's only a couple of days, really, isn't it?
It is only a couple of days. But in those couple of days, the replicators have produced copies of Star Trek Attack Wing for us.
Yes, specifically the starter box set.
Yes. So we thought we would do an unboxing and a chat. And Conrad's been ultra efficient and has actually gone ahead and played some games. Which I haven't done yet. I'm playing this evening.
Okay.
So
have you actually opened it already?
Yes.
Oh, so it's not an unboxing really, it's just going through what's in the box really, isn't it?
Well, there's the box.
Oh look, mine are all OCD wrapped in Ziploc plastic bags now.
Oh yeah, you see I haven't cracked the shrink wrap on those. I have started repainting one of the ships, though.
Already?
Yeah.
It's not been dipped yet, has it?
I don't dip.
Sorry, not dip, stripped.
No, because I don't know that they'll strip.
That's what I was worried about.
I don't know if that plastic will strip, but I have started repainting the Enterprise. Because it turns out that everybody wants to play Klingons, and no one wants to play the Federation. So, despite it being my game, I am now playing the Federation. But I have got two other people who are going to play, so...
So you have friends?
Well, I have people who are going to play.
So, the box retails at, what, $26.99 off Element Games?
Yes.
I don't know if it's
expensive. That's who I got mine from.
And there were four in stock on Monday, but now there are only two in stock. I wonder who might have bought those.
I don't know. I don't know. Some people. Before we talk about what's in the box and stuff, we should talk about the game.
Okay.
It was licensed by WizKids from... Or the system was licensed from WizKids by WizKids from Fantasy Flight Games, who obviously make X-Wing.
Using the flight path system.
Yes. Yep. And it's a modified version of the flight path system. And for some reason, I assume it's because of more to do with licensing reasons than something to do with the game companies. They're not actually compatible with each other. So you can't get your X-Wings flying against Galaxy-class starships.
They'd look a bit out of scale, really.
They would look a bit out of scale. But we're gamers. We can get around that.
What, by squinting?
One of them's a long way away.
By wearing special binocular-type things the wrong way round when we look at the X-Wings and then taking them off when looking at the capitals, the huge and great capital ships.
Yes.
Okay, I prefer the squinting bit myself.
Okay. Now, I have to admit that I had Star Wars, and I didn't really like it.
Really?
Not because of the game mechanics, but because of the scale.
Okay.
Wasn't that fussed about playing fight, you know, effectively fighter combat.
Yep.
Which is why I've not really played things like Wings of War and stuff like that.
Okay, I have played Wings of War. I never got into the trap of buying the real three-dimensional aircraft models, because that was just you may as well have just taken my house at that point. The Wings of War game was brilliant in terms of the whole World War One fighter combat. I think it really sort of captured that sort of flavour. So when the X-Wing stuff came out using that same sort of mechanic,
yeah,
I was kind of intrigued. But like you, I don't. Okay, there's a little bit of me that sort of enjoys the whole fighter, starfighter type thing, feeling sort of thing. But I wasn't really that interested. I've played the game. I played it at SmogCon probably 2 years ago, and I enjoyed it, but not enough to go away and buy it. And I do like the look of the Star Wars universe ships. I'm not enthralled by getting the bigger and bigger ships, because on a 3x3 board, I can see that sort of taking up space. But you know, I know I can see the appeal, especially for Star Wars fans.
If the Star Wars game came out with a version that had capital ships at scale, so that you could play Star Destroyers and
fight
the Executor, and not massive, you know, the same size as the attack wing ships.
Yes,
so I could have my thing, and then possibly you switch to a different table and played fighter combat,
or you could have squadrons of fighters.
Yeah.
On a base.
A base.
Yeah.
Then I would be all over it, because I would love to play Star Destroyers.
Yeah.
And, you know, and have a Death Star floating around. And
I thought you had one in your back garden.
I had to get rid of it. Neighbours complained.
Fair enough.
Then that would be fine. But I prefer the idea of capital. I prefer the idea of capital ships. You know, it's why I liked playing things like Man of War and stuff, because, you know, because it was big ships and it had crews and there were a lot more could happen with it. Whereas you think if you played X-Wing and with real ships, it would be rowboat combat.
Yep.
And I'm not really into rowboats.
And I think I've always been a big Star Trek fan in terms of, you know, I love the universe, I love the characters, I love the look and feel of the ships. Yes, it's, you know, it's made for TV drama type stuff, but, you know, Star Wars is a film as well, so I've avoided it, as I said before, but I knew inevitably that it would get its hook into me.
Yeah, and so we've picked up the box.
And opened it.
So what do you get in the box?
You get loads of stuff. You get a quick start rule set, rules of playbook. You get three ships.
Yep.
Which are the USS Enterprise D.
Yeah, which is the next generation Enterprise.
Yep. You get the
a galaxy class starship.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. You get the IKS Mutt. Ha!
Which is a Klingon battle cruiser.
I apologise for my Klingonese, or Klingon, or whatever.
Your Klingon isn't very good, no.
And you get the IRW Kazara, a Romulan ship.
Which is a Romulan.
Yep. You get the bases to put these ship models on. They're very nice models, by the way. They are pre-painted, but I will be adding, like you, I will be pre-painting them a bit better.
Yes. Well, my pre-painting consisted of taking the Enterprise and painting it completely grey to start with.
Well, as opposed to the
really. Yeah. Now, I didn't realise this, but I discovered it yesterday. WizKids had a Star Trek game before.
Okay.
a HeroClix Star Trek game, so based on their HeroClix dials.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the ships are repurposed HeroClix models. If you go on eBay and you search for Star Trek HeroClix, you can see a whole mass of ships, and the designs look very familiar.
Okay.
But the interesting thing is you can find ships that haven't been released for Attack Wing yet, including some really interesting transparent plastic Klingon battle cruisers.
Potentially cloaked versions.
So you could sort of half paint them as if they were coming out of cloak and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So I found that online yesterday.
Because HeroClix is a trademark, isn't it? And it's
HeroClix is WizKids trademark.
Because they do have HeroClix maneuver dials in the box as well.
Oh, do they? Oh, okay. Well, then it's so it's based on the HeroClix. So I would guess that the figures are the same.
Yeah.
They're not as well painted as the X-Wing figures.
Yeah, but is that because of the size of the ship, do you think?
Well, maybe.
Or maybe it's, as you said, because these were previous ships and they haven't really done anything.
They haven't retrained their painting monkeys.
Yeah.
But whatever they are, they're nice. The models are nice. There's not really any mold lines. They're sort of soft, bendy plastic, but it's not massively bendy. And it doesn't flake paint if it does bend. So, and they do look like the ships.
Yes,
the lightnesses are very good.
Yeah, I like them. I like the look and feel of them.
So you get the ships, you get a load of cards.
Yeah, there's two sets of cards. One is your sort of standard playing pack size, and those are like the characters and upgrades and things like that. And then you get a smaller deck of cards, which are like sort of Dead Man's Hands size cards, and those are damage cards.
Yeah, so you get, I think, two cards for each of the ships that you have. So you can either play the Galaxy class starship as the Enterprise itself.
Yeah, so it's a named ship or a generic ship.
Or just a generic Galaxy. And there's a difference in points cost and
stats,
abilities and things.
Yeah.
And then you get your bridge crew. So you can be Jean-Luc.
Yes, so you get basically, you get to play the game, you need a ship card, a maneuver card, a captain card, and if you're playing upgrades, you choose your upgrades as well. But there are a number of captains for each of the ships. In addition, you get a load of tokens to play the game, and the traditional maneuver templates that are used with this flight path system. You also get some mission stroke objective tokens, you get a planet, you get your dice, and you get a range ruler, and I think that's pretty much it, I think.
Yes. Yes.
So there's a little bit of assembly. You've got to sort of put the the ship together, essentially, which is onto a plastic base and two pegs. You have to assemble the dial, the maneuver dial, which is all very easy. And then the first thing you do is you get your quick play rules out, which is a little pamphlet, and give it a go. And then as soon as you've played that, which takes about 5 or 10 minutes, you go, okay, let's try and play it properly then. Because the quick play rules are great for getting the idea of the game, and that, you know, that's exactly what they're meant for.
Introducing the concepts and stuff.
Yeah. But then you've got to go away and have a quick flick through the rules of play. And we managed to do it as we were going along.
Right. So you played yesterday, yeah?
Yes. Yes, we did. Yeah. We played Romulans versus the USS Enterprise.
And who was the Enterprise?
I was.
Oh. And did you win?
No.
Right. You're obviously not Federation material then, because the Enterprise never loses.
That was the quick start rules. And then we played a proper game where we only got a couple of things wrong, because I've since gone away and read the rule book properly. And Jean-Luc still didn't manage to win.
Oh, you're rubbish.
Well, there you go. Des was complaining about the fact that the Romulan, why is your upgrade so good when that, and then he killed me. He blew me up.
I see.
But it's an interesting system, the whole sort of points based thing and the upgrades thing for the ships adds a bit of flavour to it. Not every ship's got the same ability, so the game's made up of a number of phases. You have a planning phase where you essentially use the manoeuvre dial to dial in how you're going to move.
Right.
And then you have an activation phase. So, and the activation phase goes in an order of captain skill. So each captain on your ship has a skill level. And during the activation phase, it's done in ascending order. So the one with the lowest skill goes first. Everyone reveals their dials at the same time so you can see what other people are doing. So the lowest player moves using the range ruler or whatever it's called, the maneuver thingamajig, maneuver template, there you go.
Right.
And then once he's moved, he is allowed to perform one action. And actions are things like they may be on your card, your upgrade cards.
Right.
Or you can do things, and this is all specific to your ship, so you may not be able to do all of these. There are symbols on your ship card that tell you what sort of actions you can do. So
right, so are those the little? So if I look at the Enterprise card,
mm-hmm.
So it has some coloured symbols down the side of 4, 1, 5, 4.
So those are your.
So let me see if I can. So 4 looks like it's photon torpedoes.
So that is essentially how many your primary weapon value.
Okay. Green looks like possibly a phaser type thing.
Well, it says it's agility value, but it's actually the number of shield dice that you roll in defense.
Don't know what the 5 is. The
That's
yellow
your
one.
Hull points.
That is hull points, okay. Yeah. And 4 looks like a shield.
That's correct. Yeah. So that is the number of shields that you have.
So they're pretty straightforward then.
Yep.
And then there's some descriptive text because it's the Enterprise. It gets a special ability.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are a load of symbols underneath that. And I assume those are the symbols that you're talking
those
about.
Those are the actions that you can use, yeah.
So the Enterprise can do a wiggly move.
So that is evasive maneuver.
Okay. And then it's got some sort of scanning thing.
Yeah, that is actually target lock.
Okay. Then it's got a ping.
That's scanning.
And I don't know what the last... teleport.
That's battle stations.
Battle stations. That sort of battle stations.
That's right. So there's another one that looks like a sort of... I don't know what it looks like. It looks like a bomb, I suppose, really. But it's a cloak.
Oh, for those filthy scum.
Yes, that's right, yes.
You can cloak and hide from the mighty Enterprise before it kills them.
So you can only do one of these actions, and it affects things later on. So obviously, you know, cloak. There's an interesting way they handle the cloaking thing. So you begin to cloak, but you're considered right. as cloaked for that round, and it gives you extra defense dice. Yeah.
Okay.
The scanning drops defense dice rolled by your opponent as well, so because you've been scanning them. An evasive maneuver cancels a damage roll. And battle stations, we didn't actually realize how good battle stations was until we'd read the rules and finished the game, but there are 3 symbols on the dice.
Right.
There's the red dice and the green dice have different symbols on them. The red ones are the attack dice, so you have like a diamond shape, and then you have a sort of burn critical hit, and then you have this sort of circle with the hash in it. And the green ones have got a wiggly shippy thing.
Yeah.
I think then it's got also the the hash symbol again. I think that's all it's got. But any of the hash symbols, when you use battle stations, you can convert the hash, the circle with the hash symbol in it, to a hit or a or if they're defense dice, you could convert them to a wiggly ship symbol. So it's actually quite a good action to take. But obviously these actions sort of depend on the situation that you're in. So, you know, you're sitting in your armchair and you're going Chekhov scan or whatever, you know, but you're not really. Jean-Luc's got an ability that gives him an extra action. He can make two actions as well.
Because he's badass.
Which is quite useful. So once everyone's warning. Done their
life support failure on all decks.
Maneuver and essentially you put down a counter next to your ship for the action that you're going to take, you move into the combat phase, and there's no pre-measuring in this. You've got to basically say, I'm going to shoot at that person there. Then you put the range ruler down, roll some dice. He rolls some defense dice.
And then they explode.
No, not quite. So basically green dice will cancel hits out if you get the wiggly ship.
Right.
If there's anything outstanding, a shield is destroyed. Once all your shields are destroyed, you go to hull point damage, and that's where you start dealing the damage cards out. Now, they're dealt face down, so essentially they're like hit points. However, if you get a critical hit, you turn the card over and it's dealt face up, and you suffer whatever it says on the card. So, for instance, yesterday, Des got a critical hit on me, and I had some sort of warp core malfunction. And in my planning phase, which is obviously the first phase, if I roll a particular symbol, I blow up. But I was reduced to speed one, which basically meant I was a bit of a sitting duck. So it's no surprise that the foul Romulans beat me.
They probably cheated.
They probably did. So once everyone's had the combat phase is done in descending order of captain skill. So the highest captain gets to shoot first, but the lowest captain gets to move first. So there's always an advantage there, yeah. And then you have this tidy up phase called the end phase, where you essentially get rid of the counters on the table, stuff cool. like that. But it plays really well. It's quite quick, and it looks as though it's going to be good fun to play, especially with, you know, points-based games, because there is a points-based system. The cards, the ships are worth points. The upgrades are worth points. At the bottom of your ship card, you'll see a bar next to the point value, which tells you what upgrades it can have. So, for instance, yeah. The Enterprise can have two weapons upgrades and three crew upgrades.
Right, so you can get things like O'Brien and people in.
Yes, exactly right.
Cool.
There are some three-player missions in the book as well, which use some of the terrain that you get, including the planet and objects. And I believe there's a mission with each of the new ships that you get as well.
Sweet.
But it looks as though it's going to be immense fun.
So what would you buy next?
Another Klingon ship, because I'm meant to be Klingons.
You're going to buy another Klingon ship?
Yep.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm going to buy next.
So we'll probably have updates, won't we, as we can play some more. I wonder if you can play it on Vassal.
I was thinking that as well.
You can play X-Wing on Vassal. I wonder if there's a Star Trek Attack Wing version.
If not, why not?
Yeah. And I have to think about whether I'm going to sleeve my cards or not.
I don't think there's any need, but it's probably worthwhile. I think the standard game is 80 to 100 squadron points.
Oh, okay. So that's three Galaxy class starships, or two and some upgrades.
Yep.
That's right then. Cool. Well, I think that's it, number one.
That's okay, sir.
Warning. Warp core collapse in 10 seconds.
I think it's time to engage and head on out of here.
Okay. Make it so.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're @fools_daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.